Hey everyone, welcome to the Pink Cloud 9 vodcast video podcast, available to you on YouTube, Spotify, and everywhere else in between, LinkedIn, you know, Instagram, blah, 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 blah. Anywho, I am so excited today because I have a really special guest on this true crime video podcast here. So we have Nisha today, and Nisha was in prison with Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Now, I don't know if you heard who that is, but you know, Nisha was there the same amount of time, the same amount of years that Gypsy was there too. So we're just here to kind of have a conversation about, like, you know, Nisha, let us know, you know, anything that you can, any, you know, what was a day-to-day life like for you? Like, you know, you woke up at, I don't know, 5 a.m. They woke y'all up at 5 a.m. I don't know how it works, right? Mm-hmm. So there. And so I'd like to know, what a day like look for you in CCC?
Yeah, you basically, you got it right there with the waking up at 5 a.m. They definitely wake you up for 5 a.m. count. You have to be sitting up in your bed with the lights on. If you're not, you get a violation like that. And it's real easy to rack those up. I did a lot when I first went down. Mostly because I just didn't have an alarm clock at that time. But anyway, and then after that, it just really depends on where you're at and what you're doing with your prison stay. A lot of the girls get up and go to school or work. The long timers, a lot of them either don't have to work or they have like jobs where that are like 5 minutes, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty much at their house all day. And then you've got another count at, what was it, 11 a.m. I believe. I think we used to have one at 7 a.m. also, but I think they took that away. Then you're gonna have your chow hall. I mean, of course you can go up there for breakfast if you want, but it's at like 5:30. I said no, I didn't. I believe Gypsy did. I think that anytime I really went up there, I would see her at breakfast. I could be wrong, don't quote me on that, but and then after that, it's yard. A lot of people do the yard. Some do it all day. So that's like when you would hear her talking about when she got there. And she felt like when she saw the yard that she was free. Like, I can totally relate to that for sure. Yeah. And then, I mean, you have another count at 5, mm-hmm. I think, 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Then dinner. And then just free time after that, and then another count at 10, and then that's it. Lights out.
And then you do it again the next day.
And do it again the next day.
Wow. So when you went in, did you know she was there, or did she come in after you were in, or like?
I think I was there about probably 3 years or so before she got there. I vividly remember the day that she came in. Because first of all, she was swarmed with people already. And I want to say she was limping. Again, this has been a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I remember because I was like, well, who's that? And then one of the girls I was sitting with was like, oh, that's Gypsy Rose Blanchard. She killed her mom. Her mom made her think she was sick her entire life. And I was like, wow. All right, then. But I do remember her being out on the yard that day, and she definitely had a lot of people. I don't know if it was people that knew the case. I don't think so at that time.
What were they wearing? Like, I mean, police uniforms? I mean,
oh no. I mean, like khakis, the other girls in khakis, like other inmates.
Oh, so like all the other inmates were kind of following her around or something?
Oh yeah, yeah. Cause it's like when you go into chow hall, it's just a really straight little line. Like, it's a bar, and then you like just, it's like cattle, basically. You feel like cattle. But so yeah, there was like her, little old her, and I really swear it looked like she was having trouble walking. Mm-hmm. And all these girls were just around her talking to her, and it was just a big hubbub, you know. I don't know, she wouldn't have been in a wheelchair, but I remember it was something to do with her walking, because I noticed it, and I was like, what's going on with this girl? Like, But yeah. And I think she was still growing her hair back at that time too.
So, tell me about I don't know, maybe a year later or something. Was she still being followed around by people, or not really, or did she
Not
still
really, no.
a lot?
No, at that time, after if you're somebody from, especially from Kerr County, Greene County, there's a lot of girls that come in from there and they all kind of stick together. So I think that's a lot of what that was. I don't think it was really her being famous or anything like that at that time, because at that time when she came in, we actually had girls there that, well, I didn't know them as famous, but they thought they were famous. there's a Tasha Morton. She has a Snapped episode, and I think Killer Couples about her. Latasha Williams. She went by Baby Doll, and she's got, I don't know what the episode is, but I know she's got a few shows made about her. So, I mean, really, Gypsy wasn't anything really on the camp.
How do you spell those names? When you say Tasha, is it Tosha or TA?
It is. I actually wrote that down
Yeah,
on my
I
phone.
mean, I'm gonna look these names up. So I need to get the right
Yeah,
spelling.
you can find them on YouTube, a lot about them. And then there's another girl named Kavana, and she's actually on the Netflix show I Am a Killer. And there's another lady from that was in CCC, but I recognize her, but I didn't know her. But Kavana, Tasha, Latasha, yeah.
Got it.
Those girls. Anyway, it's Tasha Morton is TAUSHA. And then Morton is MORTON. And then Latasha Williams is LATASHA. Williams, yeah.
Cool, thanks.
So.
Okay, so was it you? I can't remember, but I think it was you that I spoke about. So something you remember, you or somebody remember the day that Dr. Phil came to interview Gypsy?
Yes,
Was that you?
yeah. I mean, I didn't know when he was actually there, I don't think.
But the hubbub.
I think I do actually. Yeah, I remember him, Rose talking about it on camp and stuff because they had a certain areas of the prison shut off to where we couldn't go there that day because of it. But no, the day that the episode aired, I was there. And I really was not aware too much of her case. I had seen her and talked about her a couple times, and so, but I didn't really know any of the details of that time. So when it actually aired, I was just walking around the yard doing whatever, I don't know. But the entire yard was dead. Nobody was out there. Everybody was either up at rec watching it or in their rooms watching it. And it was just one of the quietest days I've ever seen there. And except for when commercials came on, because then everybody had an opinion after that. So.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, actually. So what's the TV situation there? How much TV do you get to watch, or what kind of shows do y'all get to watch, or whatever?
Well, see, that's what kind of also blows my mind about a lot of this is that I hear people in videos talking about, well, she doesn't even know what the world's like anymore. But yes, she does. Probably even more so than you do, because I've heard a lot of slang start in there, And so, yes, you have access to TV. She definitely did, because you have one in the rec room, the main pod area that you can go out there and sit and watch if you want. But of course, I'm sure you can imagine how that goes. And then they have TVs up at rec that you can go watch. And then you can buy your own TV too if you're able
Oh,
to.
really?
Yeah.
Is that so? To have in your area, your room, or what?
Yeah, you have a bed, and then there's a bunk above you, and then you have a little TV tray, and you just plug your TV in there and put your headphones on and do your time. At least that's
Nice.
how I did the last couple years of mine.
I mean,
I think that's how she did a lot of her time too, because I mean, I saw her on the yard, but not a whole lot. I'm thinking she was more like a housing unit type person.
Right, that was my next question. Was she in a room by herself, or did she have shared rooms, or did it change around, or?
She would have had a shared room with three other girls. And I think if I remember right, Well, I know for like, she was on the honor wing pretty often, which I mean, good for her. I wasn't.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
The honor wing. I'm trying to remember what the requirements were and why I couldn't ever get over there. Something about like 90 days violation free or 6 months violation free.
So what was special about the room?
Huh?
What was special about the room?
Nothing. You just got a few extra privileges of like you could get food visits more often. I think you could order different things if you're on that wing.
Okay. I do remember having a conversation with someone, something about her having a lot of people visit her and visitations. Is that something that you ever saw or not?
Actually, I used to have a guy that came and saw me that kind of was there to help me out. And I remember one time I went there and he was just like stunned, just staring. And I'm like, what? And he was like, that's a gypsy rose. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And
And
I think she was seeing that Ken guy at that time, I'm pretty sure. He was a nice looking guy too. I don't know what happened there, but I think she said that he dumped her, so there's that. And now she's with Ryan.
Asking if she ever got jumped or it, but
not that I know of, no.
right, you said you didn't know, and I was like, oh, okay, well, thanks for being honest. No, I mean, that's gotta be, rough. I mean,
No, I don't think she ever got jumped, but then I mean, there's a lot of fights that don't ever get like, they don't get known
reported.
about.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, they'll at least make it out to the yard, and I didn't ever hear anything about that. But yeah. There's not a lot of jumping that goes on in prison too much, really,
No.
because most girls don't want to get in trouble. Like,
Oh, yeah. Unless they have.
unless you mess with their money, and then yeah.
Did you know anything about her money, books on money on her books or anything like that? Like, did she talk about it at all, or?
No, not ever to me, but I would assume that she was I feel like I brought that up with my roommate one time, the one that was close friends with her, and I thought that she said that she didn't really get anything, that she lived on state pay at that time. That might have been in the very beginning before the act and all these things came out, because like I think I'm not sure what year the act came out, but I got out in 2020 and watched it when I got out, and I think that definitely painted a different picture than the one I watched while I was in there of like the Dr. Phil interview and like the Lifetime movie about it. I don't know if you've seen that one, but those are the ones that we all watched and saw and formed our opinion of her based off of. And then later on, you got cute little Joey King playing her, and it's like, yeah, no wonder people are like Slay Queen because I mean, Joey King.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, we've been talking about this for like almost 15 minutes, and that's fine and dandy, but let's move on to some other stuff. Tell us more about you and Nisha, and tell us anything about you that you want viewers and listeners to know about.
Well, let's see. The reason that I'm doing this, I'll start with that. I wanted to do this because it's so frustrating to me that there were so many girls that I was in there with that had way rougher childhoods than Gypsy. And some people might come at me for saying that because of all the surgeries and everything like that. But when you put it in contrast to the fact that you could tell that girl's mom loved her. You could. And I mean, she was sick. Yeah. But I also think that that's exactly what it was. I think that she was sick. And I think she still made her the apple of her eye. I think she gave her everything she wanted from what I could see. I think that she was still taking trips to Disneyland, meeting celebrities, getting houses built, getting cars built. Where I've got friends that were in there for less, doing more time. And, these are women that were raped every day as a child, like as a toddler. Like, I've had friends that, were in there for triple for that are in there for life, actually, for killing people that molested their children. Yeah, I kind of had a rough childhood myself. Nothing near like hers, and I would never even put those on the same level. But, you know, nobody in there had an easy childhood.
Right.
But the only difference is nobody else is getting a chance to say it, you know? Nobody else is getting a chance to tell their story or show, like, what they've really done. She hasn't done anything. I mean, she hasn't had time to do anything, to be fair. She just got out. But it's like, I just... Sorry, I'm getting nervous and choked up here, but I just really care about a lot of the women that I was in there with, and I see them and I see how hard they fought to just get the little bit that they have, just a little house and a little car, you know, be a good mom, rebuild relationships with their children. Like, those are the things we're out here working on, and it's like, man. You know, $3 million would sure be nice, but at the same time, it's like, I would prefer that she just would go out and advocate for, you know, all those women that raised her, all those women that she's left behind that I guarantee she's not looking back on, maybe one or two of them, but I kind of doubt it.
Right. I mean, there are people that were raised that were human trafficked, kidnapped, beaten daily, left in cages, caged, like literal cages, like animals. I mean, terrible, horrible childhoods and upbringings and abuse, yeah. And, you know, and yeah, they're not even getting like any kind of like, hey, you know, let's somehow help you out.
Well, I feel like if we're going to be having a conversation about, you know, her and her case, her specific case, like, the bigger question needs to be like, okay, well, if her murder was validated, like, if it was something that was right to happen, or that, you know, which, I mean, I don't think murder is ever right, but I just don't understand why it's like I said, it's okay in her situation, but, you know, the mom down the road that kills the man that molested her child, she's sitting in there for life without a second look back at her, right. You know, but if a woman kills her husband, then they get a TV show. It's like, right. Our country's so messed up. And if this is where I need to go to start having conversations, like, I'll do this or I'll start one or something, but
right.
I mean,
why do you think that she's gotten so much attention from, like,
I have several theories about that. And I think the one of them, on the most shallow level, I think it's probably just like, that show was really good. I mean, I enjoyed the act. And Joey King is just adorable. She's very popular with that, like, Gen Z crowd, because I really think that that's who's like bringing her up the most, is like Gen Z right now. But other than that, I think that we are at a really, let me get a drink before I start.
So, well, like, why did she get a whole Hollywood show? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would Joey King, or why would the producers and directors, and why is there a screenplay about her, you know, journey, her life, her story? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I get what you're saying. I think, I mean, her story, I can understand why they made the act 1,000%, because it's Hollywood, and it's a fascinating story. Like, the fact that her mom got away with that, like, for years, for that long, to that extent, like, even when I was in my addiction, like, and I was like a pain pill addict, like, I had bad teeth, would go to the doctor. I couldn't get pills because they knew I was drug seeking. Like, but this lady was over here pulling off whole surgeries. Like, that's fascinating. I mean, I just don't understand how that happens. But I think that there's a lot of conversations inside of her case that need to be had that aren't being identified as that. If that makes any sense, because
yeah, I do understand where you're coming from,
I think we're on a really moral slippery slope in America right now, and I think we're almost dancing around. Okay, well, when is murder okay? Because it seems like everything else is okay. So I guess we might as well make murder okay too.
Oh man. Oh man.
Well, not even just make it okay, but just go ahead and raise it up, give her, I mean, she has an insane amount of followers. Like, and that I look, I am like shaking and can't hardly breathe just on this platform right now. Like, I don't even understand how she's doing that. I don't understand why she's doing it. I mean, I do. I know it's because that's what she knows. That's what she wants. She wants that clout. She wants that attention. She wants that victimhood status. Like, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's
Well,
not the way to get out and rebuild your life or build a life, even. Like,
do remember when I first saw her story on the news back in 2008 or so, before the kill, which was in 2015. And I remember watching the news, and then there was like her and both of them, and they were like getting the free house from Habitat for Humanity, and just thinking, oh, well, that isn't that nice, that poor little wheelchair girl with cancer in her free house, and it's like I think it's so there's that, so the media's been following her for a long time. And then also the fact that there's just so many twists and turns to the story. Every time you find something else pops up, some other layer pops up, and
Well, I promise you, and that's another, that's what one of the things I initially wanted to do this for, because I wanted to come on here to, like, I promise you, y'all don't even know Gypsy yet. You don't. And you're going to soon, I have a feeling, but I mean, I could be wrong. The last video she put out was, it was pretty well done. I will hand her on that, but I see a lot of the prison still in her, and like with the way she talks and the y'all can't bring me down. I'm gonna live my best. That's prison shit stuff. Sorry. And
I know.
she's clearly still, I don't know. They say she's mentally still a child, and that might be somewhat true, but I see her mentally still. I mean, a lot of women go back because they don't know how to live out here. Like, they'll either go back because they don't know how to live out here, or they can't live out here, or especially with like a lot of female, like lesbians, they'll intentionally go back in there because they have a better life in there. And I don't, I wonder with her, because I mean, like, she's even said it herself, that's the first time she feels felt free. So does she now, I wonder? I don't know. I don't see how anybody can feel free with like what, 12 million eyes on you?
People, there's people that are saying, oh my gosh, you just hate her so much. Not me, but like just in general, y'all just hate her so much because she has so much attention. It's like,
I
excuse
wouldn't want it.
me, do not want that kind of attention. Like, I don't need people following me, knowing where I live. Paparazzi following my car, whatever. I mean, I don't know if that's happening over there, but I sure don't.
Her friend has actually told me, I'm pretty decent friends with somebody that at least says she still talks to her every day. I think she probably does. I mean, or she's at least talked to her since she's been out, because she sent me screenshots of like a little snippet, didn't say anything important or anything, but she said that she's gotten threats, her friend, and she says that Gypsy's getting threats. And I'm like, but why? Like, threats over what? I mean, but maybe there's some people out there. Maybe some people really like Nick. Hey, I'm Team Nick, so I don't know. I don't know why anybody would be threatening her, but that's what the claim is. So.
Right. Again, ain't nobody sane enough to want all that kind of crazy attention. You gotta hire bodyguards, you gotta hire all kinds of crazy stuff and people to pay for, like, keep me safe and whatever. I would not.
Well, I mean, when everybody around her wants it, because that's what I see. I see that I think Ryan's a clout chaser. I think Ryan's just along for the ride. I really do. I think he did that, wrote her on a dare, and I mean, obviously they click. I thought maybe he had money, but he's a teacher, so I guess not. So I guess she really did click with him, but I think he's just kind of like, hey, all right, I'm married to Gypsy Rose. I'm famous now. Okay. Like, Ryan cracks me up.
about like, I wonder if Ryan ever had a girlfriend before Gypsy.
I don't know. The D is fire. Haven't you heard? Fire.
We'll see. We were talking about this for like 25 minutes, and I said 15. I said 10 minutes ago. I was like,
I know.
We're talking about Nisha, and now we're here talking about Gypsy again. Like, damn.
I mean, I have opinions. I have a lot, and I'm trying to really be as neutral as possible because, like, I watched a video earlier this morning that kind of made me think about some things, and the guy was like, he's like, I'm not saying be a stand for Gypsy by any means. He's like, I'm not saying attack her, though, either, because you guys are out here like, she's a bad person and a manipulator. And it's like, well, duh, she killed her mom. Like, what did y'all expect, you know? And I wasn't thinking like that either. I was like, well, she's just out here manipulating and playing it. And yeah, I mean, I guess the last thing I'll say on it then is, like, I don't hold her past against her. Like, I don't hold the murder so much against her. What I don't like is how she's acted since. Since she's gotten out. And the fact that, girl, you can't even drop a few dollars on Nick's books. Like, I'm going to tell you, anybody that's listening out there right now, like, your books, your canteen in prison is everything. Like, it just is. It determines who your friends are. It determines how you live. It's everything. And you've got a net worth of $3 million, and all you can say is, well, I'm sure we both have, you know, regrets. Like, girl, come on. Oh, that man is serving life for you. Blows my mind.
We'll see how his appeal goes.
I mean, he does have a lot of public support, I feel like, now, but I'm not saying he should be out either. I mean, the man was caught masturbating for 9 hours in a public McDonald's. So I think Nick's got his own problems. I think, but I think hers are just as, I mean, I think they killed Dee Dee not so much just to, I don't think, honestly, that her abuse had much to do with it. At all, really. The more I think about it, I think that she wanted to be with Nick and her mom wasn't letting her be. And I think that they both were just dark. And I think that she said she was using pills at that time. And I don't know if he was using any drugs. I don't think so. But I think they were both just really dark and they got off on it and they wanted to kill somebody. And she probably did have a lot of resentments toward her moms. And she was just like, okay. Well, let's kill my mom then.
Okay. So let's reel it back. Let's talk a little bit about some prison. What is prison release? What does prison release look like? Like that first day that you're released back into the free world?
I mean, it's different for everybody, of course.
Right. What was it like for you? That's what I was going to ask. What was it like
for me? I went to, well, this last time after my 8-year sentence, I had a buddy and my best friend from in there pick me up at the bus station. I rode the prison transport van to the bus station in Kansas City, and they picked me up, and I immediately went to like a sober living house. And then Journey to a New Life. It's a great place. Didn't do great there. I ended up messing up pretty soon after that. But and then I got, you know, I when I got out of this 8 years, like, I immediately went around somebody that I shouldn't have, that was getting high, and immediately started doing that. Like, this the day after. And I never thought I was going to. Like, when I was planning on when I got out, like, I was going to. Actually, I don't even really remember where my head was at, but I don't think it was going to go. It was, I want to go back to drugs. It just kind of turned up there, and I was like, well, I've been clean for 8 years. I can handle it now. No. But, yeah, so, I mean, a lot of people, my exit was pretty boring. It was just me going to a sober living house, and then they took me to get some clothes. I went to Walmart. I can tell you, it was like my personal experience of being in there that long and getting out and into the real world was crazy, absolutely crazy. I went to Walmart with them, and this was, I went with a couple other girls that had, you know, they were, had been in prison too, so they understood kind of where I was at mentally, but still, yeah, like, I got lost in the clothing section of a not very big Walmart. It was very, very overwhelming. So, and then even after that, like, I think I tried to do laundry later that week, couldn't operate the laundry machine or the washer because everything was digital now. And then, like, when I went to prison, they still had flip phones, I believe. They didn't have smartphones. I know that much. And I think it was still flip phones. And so that was really crazy. That messed my mind up really good. The whole social media thing. So I don't know how she's navigating it. I really don't. But
I was getting a job and a home or a house or a place to live for you. Like,
well, once I got off my little mess up and, you know, found out that I was pregnant, because I got pregnant like immediately after I got out.
Okay.
Abish should be pregnant within 6 months, that girl. But anyway, so yeah, I got pregnant like immediately, and a lot of girls do, a lot to do, like, and so after that, once I started actually trying to get my life together, they make it almost impossible. Yeah, especially with like your license, cars, things like that. Because I also had 2 DWIs in my past, and so I lost my license in like 2007 or 2008, something like that. And I still can't get it back, despite the fact that I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. It's mostly about money. And here we are, like 15 years later, something like the 12 years. And I still have to get an ignition interlock put on and pay for that every month, pay for my SR22 every month. So that's hard. And then like with housing, it's very hard to get a house, especially by yourself if you're a felon and if you have no credit history, job history, or I mean, you know, a good credit score, job history. As I remember, like, the first summer I got out, I ended up getting some money back from unemployment. I got a pretty good amount back too, and I should have been able to find a place with the amount of money that I had, but I couldn't. And it was all because I was a felon and I didn't have a good job history at that time. So yeah, they make it very, very hard. That's what I'm saying. Like, these girls that have gotten out and have anything, if they're sober, like that right there, that's huge. Huge. If you've gotten out of prison, you're still sober. Like, congratulations, anybody that's listening, by the way. But, and then to actually also build a life on top of it from nothing, because you have nothing when you come out. I mean, a lot of people have families that help them and things like that, but a lot don't. A lot have nothing. Literally nothing. No clothes, no nothing. And they have to do it all on their own, and some do. And those women, those are heroes to me. But
I don't know if you can talk about this or want to talk about this. You don't have to, but can people get drugs in there?
Yes, or yeah, no? I can talk about it. Yeah. I don't know what it's like now, because, like, my best friend was in there like a year ago. And they can't even get mail in there as far as I know now. But yeah, when I was in there, it was very rampant and it was very expensive. So if she says that she was addicted to it, she's definitely sitting well in there at that point. Because, I mean, you're talking, I don't know, do you know what a Suboxone strip is? Okay, so they're selling, she said $50, probably about that big. You can't even see it. Wow. Yeah. So whatever her mom, her stepmom sent her or whatever, yeah, it was all for that little tiny bit of one, probably. Maybe a little bit bigger, but.
And so these things are paid with commissary, with cash?
Yeah, with commissary or a lot. That's one way they do it. You can either, like, give them direct commissary, or you can have your people put money on their books, or a lot of like the bigger people that actually sell the drugs, they want you to have your people go and like send their people money. Like they don't even, it doesn't even touch their screen because at that point, a lot of the drug dealers on there hit their max on how much money you can have. And so they'll just have it sent out and they're just still grows in there right now to this day. I guarantee just stacking money.
And other than like Suboxone and pills, what other kind of stuff can people get in there?
That's pretty much Suboxone. I don't, I think there was some heroin at
Okay.
times.
Cocaine, meth, anything like that? Nah, yes.
Yeah, they'd occasionally get some meth in there. But yeah.
Mostly it was like pills and Suboxone.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just remembering how we'd get it. I guess I could probably tell you now because, I mean, what's the chance of the guards listening? They probably figured it out by now anyway. But they would have their people like, you get the card wet with meth, like you break down, make it water, and then you put it over the top of a glitter card so that when you're actually doing the meth, you're snorting glitter also. So yeah, good times, good shit. Living it up.
Sounds like a
No, not, and
Friday
you see I'm shaking my head like ridiculousness.
night. Okay, last question, and then we're gonna wrap it up. How did they get the drugs in there, like the pills? Was it because of the like the was it from the medicine, like people, was it like, I don't know, medications like
I mean,
Xanax?
if there was actual pills in there, that was usually because either somebody was like sick in there and was cheeking the pills, which is very rare that they would actually give you pills like that in there. No, it was mostly like visits, mail. Mail was the big one, and that's why they've cut mail out. I mean, visits, they can only go so far on what they can stop at visits, you know what I mean? But mail, they'd like put it underneath of a postage stamp and then send it in, or they put it like, I mean, they would, there's about 50 different ways to get that in there. A lot of like work release girls sometimes will bring various items back.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Guards from time to time, I kept a
Sure.
couple of them. Yeah.
Do guards rape women in there?
There was, yeah, I guess there was a guard that had raped girls. I think he got fired either like right after I got there or before I did. But yeah, I know, especially like in the old Chillicothe prison before they built the new one, I think they had a lot of problems with that. But it wasn't like a huge thing or anything like that. I had a guy, a creepy one,
It
but.
happened. No. Okay, cool.
No, it's not bad. He was just gross. He was just so gross.
I'm glad it's not as bad as, that it used to be,
Yeah, I mean, they mostly just say things.
Nasty things.
Yeah. And then the girls will usually use that to their advantage and be like, oh, yeah, well, bring me in such and such, and I'll show you such and such. And
Right. Yeah, totally. I mean, come
yeah.
on.
I mean, they gotta live, you know? I
Yes,
mean, I didn't,
that's
but I probably
survivorship.
would have. If I'd had to, but I never really, I mean, I never had money in there ever. Like, I had my father sent me enough money to get, when I first went down, I talked to my POS father long enough to get a TV and my clothes and my CD player and get all my stuff and then cut that off. But after that, my entire time, I had no money. Like, I had my little $5 state pay they give you, or $8 state pay if your books are paid off. Yeah, $8. Like, and that to me, like, I'm not trying to bring it back to the gypsy, I'll get right back on point. But to me, that's what Nick is potentially living on every month is $8. Like, but whatever. Okay, so didn't have any money. So I would make like little bracelets or rings for people. Various things, like me and my best friend would like steal stuff from the garden and sell that on the yard. We had our little hustles. We were hustlers. Like, we were a very good little team, me and her.
Right on. Cool. Thank you so much, Anisha, for being here, for talking to us and, you know, being so open and honest and authentic and transparent. Those are really good and important qualities in this society. A lot of people are scared to be. So yeah. I applaud you for your courage and your strength.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, cool deal. So I'm just going to wrap it up by saying, remember everybody, suicide hotline, you can text, you don't have to call, you can use any name you want, you can be anonymous. These are like some resources for people that are, you know, they have the AA for Alcoholics Anonymous, if you're having trouble with any type of alcohol issues. There's a lot of rehabs out there. There's a lot of shelters for domestic violence, women and children, especially, I think, more in the bigger cities. But still, I'm sure you could probably find some in small towns. Just remember that there is help. There is a way out. You know, look, Google these numbers, you know, Google, like, if you feel sad, be like, why am I sad? And, or how can, you know, just don't just sit in the cycle of, you know, going round, round without seeking help. And seek help, like, help is out there. And those are the ones that I'm thinking about at the moment. So those are the ones that I know that exist. Thank you so much for being here. Have a lovely rest of the night, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Bye.
Bye, guys. Thanks for having me.